want to encourage us this morning, and I'm going to do my best in a very short period of time. But I want to get us back to the purpose of why all of this stuff happened in the first place. Because sometimes we get caught up in things and we miss the fact that God's working by plan.
Yes.
He's not working by any emotion or working by any thing that may affect, that the devil may do that may affect his situation. See, God's, you know, he has already planned everything. He's not reactionary. He's proactive in everything that he does. And a lot of times that when we face life, we react to what life is throwing at us. But what God is trying to get us to see, and I want to encourage you this morning, is that you don't have to react to anything that the devil throws your way.
Yes.
That your God has put you in a place where you can be a part of his proactive measures. And you can sit with him and you can be with him, and no matter what comes your way, because you're a part of God's proactivity, there's an answer for the circumstance that you're facing. And so I want to encourage you this morning, and I'm going to do my best without rushing, but Lord knows. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Well, since the press, well, I felt like I was back in the day. I'm ready to let it go. Woo! I love it.
Yes, sir.
I love it, man. You know what I'm saying? You know what I love about God and I love about our circumstances? God is, we are a diverse people,
yeah.
And God deals with us in a diverse way.
Yeah.
Sometimes he may come a certain way, then another time he'll come another way. But it's all God doing what he wants to do in his big, great big plan of bringing people out of every tongue, every kindred, and every nation.
Amen.
He's bringing us all together out of the stuff we've been in into the stuff that he is in.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
In the place. Ready to go. Hallelujah. So, I gotta calm down. We got a visitor. Sorry, brother Nathan. Philippians chapter 2. And again, reading at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, of any fellowship in the Holy Spirit, of any affection in mercy, fulfill my joy in being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. And let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, you see, the Apostle Paul, he breaks in and he begins to start giving us the reason Jesus came. But not only just the reason that Jesus came, he's giving us a direction on what we should be.
Yes.
He is clarifying to us the lifestyle we should have while we're here on earth. And it's given by example of Jesus himself. Beloved, let me tell you something. There's no greater personality or example to follow other than the person of Jesus Christ. If we're going to have impact in the world, if we're going to grow in God, then look at the life of Jesus. He can take you from point A to point B to point C of your life without any concern about what is happening to you, because you're sitting in a place of peace, and whatever comes your way, you know inside of you there is a word that you can speak and see the situation change. He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and that mountain will be removed into the midst of the sea. Why? Because of the one who is inside of you. The Bible tells us greater is he who is in you than he's in the world. You ought to give God some praise in there right now. But the greater one is in you. It doesn't matter who's outside of you. It's the one that's inside of you that matters. He's the big one.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. He's the big one. No matter how big the enemy tries to make himself look, Jesus is bigger.
Amen.
Still. I love what, what's her name, Corrie Ten Boom said. No matter how deep your pit you're in, Jesus is deeper still.
Amen. Yes, he is.
Come on, somebody in here. Okay, let me hurry up. Oh, I meant to say something. Great to see dear sister back. Elizabeth, right back here. She's been away for a year, got married, into the married life now. Over a year now. Over a year.
Almost a year.
Great to see her back. Y'all know her. If you've just come, that is Kevin and Jamie's daughter.
Amen.
Right there. And her little brother next to her, you know well. Good to see you, brother. Good. Okay, we get that. And we're going to keep reading. And it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and becoming in the likeness of a man. Listen, you know, sometimes we can be so prideful of what God has given us that we think all we have to do is hold on to it or take hold of it because God has positioned me. And he's positioned me in a place. But here's Jesus, who had a position but gave this position up so that he could put you in his position. I don't think you realize it yet, but we're going to see it in a minute. He gave up his position so that he could pick you up out of your position and put you in his position. The Bible says he has raised us up together, Ephesians 1, and sat us down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave up his spot so you can have it, and you can sit down, and you can rest from the struggle. You can rest from the disappointment. You can rest from all the stuff that's coming your way, because you have a place in the name that is above every other name.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Listen to it. It says, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross, that therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I want you to go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 1 it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according in the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So you were walking one way, and see, this is the power of God that you have to understand and I have to understand. We could be walking one way, determined to live a life of our own. But God comes and he intercepts us.
Yeah.
And turns us around.
Amen.
To walk his way.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's powerful, because you let anybody try to change your mind when you decided on something now. Like some of us who love the Dallas Cowboys. Ain't nobody can change my mind about the Dallas Cowboys. No matter what they say, I love the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, I love the Dallas Cowboys.
Listen.
And you, I know, pray for me, bro. That's right. But also, in British football, I love Liverpool. Come on, you Reds. But some of us may disagree. We may have disagreement with stuff, and we may see stuff, and people may try and come to get us to turn around from what we believe is right and what we love. But what I love about the power of God, it's right in the middle while we're following our own way, which we love and we've invested our life in. He comes and he shows us something much better. And while we were in our trespasses and sins, he turned us around.
Amen.
And he helped us to see something that we weren't able to see before.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to keep reading, and I'm going to get to the point that I want to make in a moment. Among whom we also conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were we by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Listen, what does that mean? That translation means he did not only just make us alive, but he made us of his spirit. We were of an opposing spirit and an opposing thought and an opposing process. And this is what the born-again experience is all about. Because he now took you out of that born-again, that fleshly spirit of this world, and he birthed you.
Hallelujah.
changed you
yes.
to make you his child.
Amen.
And that is a marvelous thing. I don't know if you understand that, but we were living in a certain way, and he birthed us,
yeah.
turned it around, and put us in another place. We were born again. I know it's hard to understand that born again experience, but he did something on the inside that is also reflected on the outside in the way we live. And I'm going to get to what I'm going to say in a minute. But God, and then it says, even when we were dead, and then, I'm sorry, verse 5, and even when we dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together
yes.
in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, sometimes when we encounter life, the problem with us is we think we're still of this world, and so we approach it from the perspective of this world. But he didn't cause us to be born again to allow us or want us to deal with life based on the way we used to deal with life.
Amen.
But he raised us up and he seated us in a place that is of a different context because he wants us to deal with life now from a different
Amen.
Perspective.
Amen.
Not from a perspective of this world, but a perspective of that world. He sat us down. Now, I want you to understand something. Robert, why don't you bring them back? You bring both of y'all.
Come here.
And you sit down. Sit right there, my brother. Yeah. See? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus, now I don't want you to get big head about this. Now, Jesus is sat in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. And I want you to understand that before Jesus, he gave up who he was. Can you understand? He gave up who he was and he became a man. He will always be a man. 100% God, but now he is 100% man. And that should encourage you because now we have a man in glory. We know we can get there because Jesus is there. We have a man in heaven. I don't know if that gets you moving, but that moves me. Because sometimes the enemy will tell you, you ain't good enough to get there. You're just human. I sure am, but there's a man already there. So I know God is faithful to his promise. So here we are, heavenly places, at the right hand of the Father. And he raised us up and sat us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Amen, amen, amen.
We're sat down in heavenly
Hallelujah.
Places with Jesus.
Yes.
We are no longer of this world. We're sat in Jesus. Now listen what else the Bible says about Jesus. He has given him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, what did he do with that name? He raised me up and he sat me down in that name.
Amen. 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 It's good.
So, listen, let me tell you, I'm in a place where I'm being exercised of this. They told me last week that my mom has cancer in her kidneys. But that doesn't matter because God has raised her up and sat her down. In Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. Let me tell you something. My life doesn't end here. My mom's life is not going to end here. Her life begins because it's in Christ Jesus in heavenly place. Oh, beloved, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Circumstances come your way. It doesn't matter. All you have to say is this. I'm seated in a name that is above every name.
Amen.
Difficulties come. Listen. 20, 30 years ago, next month we celebrate 41 years.
Yes.
41. 41. But 30 years ago, the enemy tried to stop it. But during that process, he raised us up.
Yes, he did. Amen.
And sat us
in heavenly places. And you know how we work it now? When the enemy comes to deal with us, I'm not listening to you because I don't speak the earthly language anymore.
Amen.
I speak from another perspective.
Yes, sir.
I speak a heavenly language.
Amen.
Because I have been raised up.
Hallelujah.
And I'm sat down in a heavenly place. See, when trouble comes your way, this is where we always draw our strength. Brother Ray, we always draw our strength a lot of times from how we think. And so when trouble comes, we try to figure out how to deal with it. So we're looking for strength by us trying to figure out how we deal with it. But you know what I've learned? I've learned to find strength in just giving him a praise. You know why? Because I'm in heavenly places. And the language that heaven understands is the praise of Jesus.
Amen.
And so in the middle of the struggle, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I'll raise a hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all hear what I'm saying? In the middle. So I lift him up. I just begin to give him praise. See, I'm seated. We have to understand that I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Now, the other part of that, as the Bible says, that at the name of Jesus, every knee, one of the knees, two of the knees. See, it's talking about people that we need to give him praise. We need to acknowledge the name of Jesus before the time comes when it's compulsory. But listen, it's not only just talking about your knees or the people's knees. It's talking about spiritual powers. See, because the Bible talks to those spiritual powers. He calls them principalities and powers. They're princes. But Jesus is king.
Amen.
Yeah. See, so when those principalities begin to move, all I need to do is lift up the name of the
king.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. See, I don't know about you, but my mind plays tricks on me sometimes. It gets me to thinking that I'm subject to the life of this world. I'm subject to what happens in this world. I'm subject to the stuff that confronts me in this world. But until I look away to Jesus, and I see they tried to kill him, and they put him in a grave, and they locked the grave, and they said that was the end of that. But the Bible says on the third day, he rose from the grave.
Amen.
Nothing can hold you down that you don't allow to hold you down. Nothing can keep you in a limited place that you don't allow to keep you in a limited place.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I have to recognize that I am seated in heavenly places in the name of Jesus. And as the writer of Philippians said, at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We have to understand that. That has to be. That's the beginning. That's his plan. It's to seat you. Not to have you running around through life worried and struggling with this situation and that situation. He wants us to focus and function from a place of rest and a place of peace. Thank you. From a place of rest and a place of peace. Now I'm gonna close with this. I'm done. Now you see, in Philippians he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. See, in Jesus' mind and in his heart, he gave up everything to come here, and he committed everything to you and to me. He held nothing back. The Bible says he was in a place, his position, he didn't think of it as something to be held on to, but he gave it up. He gave it up, and then the Bible says he humbled himself to the cross, and to death, he even humbled himself more, and to death. So he gave up everything he had, and he committed everything he had to you. See, but he said at the beginning of the text, let this mind be in you also, which was in Jesus Christ. There comes a time in my life when I have to give it all up and give it all to him. Let him have it. Because he can do more with it than what you can do holding on to it. The Bible says those disciples on the side of the mountain, and they were praying. And they said, feed these people. And Jesus said, you feed them. And we don't have anything. He says, all we have is these bread and these loaves. I don't have nothing to give them. And Jesus said, give them to me. I'm going to commit what we have to you, Jesus. Jesus took what they had. He broke it. And he multiplied it. Unless you give everything you got, he can't do what he needs to do with it. Mm-hmm. You got to give it all. Yes. And when you put it in his hand, it may take a little breaking, you know. And the breaking part can be a little painful. But I guarantee you, after the breaking, he's going to multiply what you're holding on to if you give it to him. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your word. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us, Father. Help us give everything that we are to put it into your hands so that you can be everything that you want to be to us and do everything that you want to do through us. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Give us.